we're talking about, or course, I should say, we're talking about the ministry gifts. And we can see in the scripture, in Ephesians, it talks about and lists the ministry gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. And I'm going to go ahead and read that. It says, "And he gave," meaning Jesus, "some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." So there we can say that he gave. People don't call themselves into these places, but God calls them and God sets them in these places. And then why does he do it? And we can see in verse 12 the reason. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And then in verse 13 we can see, well, why? Or how long, rather? How long? "Till we all come in the unity of the faith." So until we've all come into the unity of the faith, these gifts are going to be functioning in the body of Christ. "And of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So these are gifts that are given, gifts put into people, given to the body of Christ, to benefit, to mature, to edify the body of Christ. We're basically to lay our life down, if you're called, to serve the body of Christ. So it's a gift given to you, but not really just for yourself, it's for the body. What I want us to look at tonight, we're going to look at the apostles. And what is an apostle, and how do we know that that ministry gift from the other ministry gifts? So you can go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And we can see there, as you're turning there, it says that God has set some in the church, and it says first apostles. So in other words, they're listed in order. First apostles. Now, while you're looking at that, I want to tell you, when I think of an apostle, one of the people that I think of that I was able to sit under some of their ministry for a while was a man named John Wimber, who started the Vineyard Churches. And they went real strong all over California and even across the United States and into England and into Europe and into other places around the world. What those churches were really known for was a lot of the love of God, because John Wimber flowed in an incredible amount of the love of God. So those Vineyard Churches just flowed with just fantastic worship and brotherly love, just such a strong anointing. And I remember being in some of those conferences when John Wimber was ministering, when they'd have him down in Anaheim. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. But that man just seemed to ooze love. He seemed like the type of person that, even though I didn't know him personally, I felt like I could walk up to him and hug him, and that he would hug me. Just so much love, just very much a father figure. There was so much love flowing from him that it drew people and it drew churches. And so there were a whole bunch of churches then planted under his ministry, just a lot of them, in a relatively short period of time. And even churches that were already established began going to him and wanting to join themselves to him and submit under that ministry, a lot of it because of the anointing that was on that ministry. He really flowed with an ability to plant churches. And I heard a testimony that when he first got saved, he sat in another church and turned to somebody that was sitting near him and said, "Well, when do we do this stuff?" And they said, "Well, what do you mean this stuff?" And he said, "You know, lay hands on the sick and they recover, and cast out demons, the stuff. When do we do the stuff?" And they looked at him like they didn't know what he was talking about. And he thought, "Well, I read in the Bible, we get to do this stuff." And so he went out into the street and started doing the stuff. He started doing what the Bible said. Just a person that wanted to follow God and sought after the Lord. But just a really tremendous call on his life. And a lot of churches were blessed. And we were in a Vineyard church for a long time. and we're blessed because of just the love and the worship, and it was really a blessing to us. God used him to plant a lot of churches and for a lot of churches to be built underneath his ministry. Now, that's an example. That was a good example of somebody that functioned that way. But now I can give you another example of misusing this, we can call it title, or misusing this office. When Pastor Brad and I had already planted this church, but it was still young, we met somebody that was in the Bay Area that had come here from another state. And they were in the process of planting their own church, but that they said they had a big vision and were funded from another bigger church in another state. And they had a vision and a plan for planting something like 23 churches in the Bay Area. And they wanted to go after San Francisco too. And we thought, well, that's wonderful. That's great. And then I heard they wanted to do it in 5 years. And then I kind of thought, wow, that'd be really good. If you can do that, that'd be great. And as we started to talk with him more, because he was so excited and he had so much just vision, just really wanted to see God move in the Bay Area, we thought, wow, this is wonderful. And as we talked with him more and more, we started realizing he wanted us to come under his ministry, and he was going to be the apostle over our church, and then we were supposed to tithe back to him and his church, and then he wanted a lot of the people that had been coming to our church to go over and help serve in his church when they had conferences and things like that. In other words, he wanted us to sow people over into his. And as we're praying about it, you know, we were already submitted to Rhema. And so we had somebody over us. And we have regional meetings, you know, where we meet with the other pastors in Northern California. And we go back to Rhema and we have conferences back there. And we can call Rhema anytime we need help or whatever. We are submitted. We have an organization over us. But this was somebody that was just here and just seemed real dynamic and real interesting at first. And then we started realizing, you know what? This just doesn't seem to line up. We're already established. We already have somebody over us. And you're wanting us to hook up with you and then pay tithes to you. And you want our people. You see what I'm saying? But then they're calling themselves an apostle and they're going to be over all these churches. Well, to make a long story short, they're no longer in the Bay Area. The church folded. To my knowledge, they haven't done any of those other churches. You just have to be careful and use discernment. Just because somebody wants to call themselves something, it doesn't mean that's what they are. Right? An apostle is somebody that starts works. But they start. Not somebody that wants to move in and take over. That's not right. And it's not the order that God set in place. So let's go ahead and look at some scripture that really show us some good godly examples of apostles. We know that our first example would be in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. This is by far our greatest example. The greatest example of an apostle that we have was Christ himself. Jesus Christ was an apostle. Hebrews 3:1 says, "Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So in other words, Jesus was an apostle. He filled that office and that ministry himself. Now the Greek word that's translated into apostle actually means sent forth or a sent one. What does it mean to be a sent one? Well, Jesus, again, is our greatest example of a sent one. And in John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So in other words, God sent Jesus. God gave Jesus a mission or an assignment and commissioned him and sent him. So Jesus is a sent one. A true apostle is always one with a commission. Always a sent one. And in Acts chapter 13, Barnabas and Paul are Bible examples of sent ones, where the Holy Spirit had them set apart and sent. Now, let's talk about some signs of apostles. Some signs of apostles in 2 Corinthians 12:12, we can see some scripture examples of how do we know what apostle is. An apostle would have signs following their ministry. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So in others, we should be seeing signs and wonders and mighty deeds in somebody that's functions in this ministry gift. Now, some other things that would have to happen for somebody to be able to stand in this ministry office would be they would have to have a deep personal experience with the Lord. What do I mean by that? If we look at Paul's life through the New Testament, we can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, that he talks about his experiences with the Lord. And even there, he says, "Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?" Meaning he'd had visions of Jesus. So he was having some deep personal experiences with Jesus. We know that also that the Spirit of God taught Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Why don't we turn there? Galatians chapter 1. And let's see what it says. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man," meaning he didn't get it from man. Where did he get it from? "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So in other words, he was having revelations from Jesus, and that's where he was getting the Word of God. He was getting the Word of God straight from God, and then he was writing it down for our benefit. So he was having real deep experiences with God and revelation from God where God was teaching him. Jesus was teaching him and leading him and guiding him in what to write for us. So we can see, again, just a deep experience with God here. So somebody that's called into this office, into this place, would have a real deep experience and revelation from the Word of God. Something else that we would see from somebody that was called into this type of ministry, we could look at the work. What would the work look like that they would be doing? They would be doing the work that would look like a foundation layer. What do we mean by a foundation layer? Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. We're going to look at some of the work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's important to know this because sometimes people can call themselves something, give themselves a title. Even years after that last experience I told you about, we had somebody else that came into the church and they were running a home group when we were running home groups. And they said that there was somebody else that was coming in that wanted to be the apostle over the home group from another church. Just things that, what are you talking, this isn't right. This isn't scriptural. You know, you don't come into somebody else's church and then want to be the apostle over everything. It's just real important to know. It's got to sit right in your spirit. It's got to line up with the scripture. When somebody's called to do that, it's their work. They've done it. And usually it's planting more than one church. If somebody plants one church, they're a pastor. They've got to plant more than one church. And that's something that you'll see as we go on, that for somebody to be called an apostle to stand in that office, that ministry office, to be that ministry gift to the body, they've got to be able to have evidence of planting more than one church. It's not just one. If it's one, they're a pastor. More than one. Okay, so let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:10. "But again, then, they exercise authority over that which they planted, over that which they established themselves, not somebody trying to come in and take over." And usually, often, it's somebody that God will use to start things, to start ministries, to start churches, and they'll oversee it for a certain time span until somebody is raised up within that body to then be able to stand as pastor and function as pastor. And then often that person that is an apostle will move on or move to another area to go start something somewhere else. And then lets go of their authority to run things and turns it over to a pastor. So somebody that just wants to set themselves up as apostle and every church they plant, they want to control. No, that's not the way God established it. They can have input until that church is established. Once that church is established and somebody's raised up to be able to run it and pastor it, then they let go of that authority and they turn it over. Okay? So it's not somebody just trying to set themselves in a place and control things. So that's just, it's a big warning sign. It's like a big red flag. Somebody that wants to come move in and And anybody that's throwing that title around, it's another warning sign. Warning, 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 warning. When somebody starts calling themselves that, if they didn't lay the foundation and establish whatever's going on there, warning, warning. Or somebody that's wanting to control, warning, warning. Mm-mm. No, usually it's somebody that's extremely gifted to move into an area, to get things established, get it set up, give it government, basically, you know, gifts of government, get it set the way it should be set, get people trained, and then they move on to another area. Not somebody that's controlling and wanting their hand and lording it over like that. 1 Corinthians 3:10, are you there? Okay, so now we're going to look at what is their work. What is the work of an apostle? It's a foundation layer. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. Now notice that. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. And we saw that in another place also, which we may go back and look at that in Ephesians, where it talks about God gave, and he gave them grace, and he gave them a measure to walk in. So it's real important never to, first of all, we know we're not supposed to compare ourselves to other people because Scripture tells us not to compare, right? But also because everybody's given different gifts and a different grace to walk in a different gift. So how could you even compare yourself to somebody else when God's graced them and gifted them to walk in what they're called to walk in, and you're probably graced and gifted to walk in something different? Okay, but here we go. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. Okay, it's a grace of God that was given to him to walk in this, right? As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. That's the work of an apostle. Laying the foundation. In other words, the beginning, the start, getting something started, the very beginning, the core. And another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So, in other words, we see a foundation builder there. And also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says this, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So in Ephesians, again, it's talking about the foundation of the apostles. The apostles were laying the foundation. And we can look at, for instance, the first 12 apostles that were here when Jesus was here are like no others. Nobody else will be an apostle like those first 12 because of the work the first 12 did. They witnessed the ministry of Jesus Christ. They were eyewitnesses. Okay? No one else like that has been an eyewitness to testify about Jesus Christ. So those 12 have a unique place, a higher place in a call as an apostle. They also laid the foundation of the church in general. In the very beginning, they laid the foundation of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there were things in the very beginning of this new order, we may call it, this new way, New Testament, better covenant, full of better promises, a better way of walking it out. Here's the beginning. Here's the new way of we're doing things now. It's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's now walk in love. Okay, so they were setting forth new ways to walk. New ways to walk for the church. So they were laying out a new foundation for us. Now, when I think of how I've maybe right now I know two people that function as apostles that I either know personally or I've sat under their ministry for a while. One of them had planted a church now in Oklahoma, and he had spent 3, 4, 5 years just praying about Bible schools in Europe. And he didn't, you know, to the natural, I really go and do anything about it. He just spent years sowing in prayer, praying and praying and praying and praying until God started moving on his heart to then start doing something about it. Then they started traveling to Europe and started getting things set up and started prayer meetings. And it was really interesting when it's God and it's the Spirit of God, God draws people. And God started drawing people to him that were then going to pastor and help plant. And within just a couple years, now mind you, they'd sowed years in prayer over this, knowing what God was calling them to do. But then within just a few years after that of praying, suddenly they had just incredible ministry teams ready to go out into many different countries and planted Bible schools in lots of different countries all through Europe. And that was the area that God put on their heart, was Europe. And they just started popping like popcorn. And to somebody that didn't know how much time they'd sown in prayer, it'd be very easy to think, wow, just overnight. Well, it almost seemed like it was overnight, but it wasn't, because of just the amount of time that was sown in prayer. And Brad and I actually sat in on some of those prayer meetings and experienced that. We only sat in for a time, though, because that wasn't what we were called to do. And so they really wanted people to hook up with them that were called to go be part of that. So we got to sit in on that and experience some of that and see that flow and all that prayer that they were doing there. But that wasn't what we were supposed to be doing long term. So we didn't continue going long term. We didn't want to also distract what they were doing there. Anyway, but it was a good experience to just kind of hear those testimonies. And I had different countries on my heart anyway. So we just kind of prayed a little bit and then knew that this wasn't where we were supposed to be long term. But just able to watch the power of God working through somebody that was called to function like that and watch how it happened. But a lot of prayer, a lot of time sown with God, a lot of time. And then things just started popping. And right now he's functioning as a pastor over a church in Oklahoma, but there are still... It's called DeMata, and he runs a missionary school, and he trains people up, and then they've got a whole bunch of people and a whole bunch of Bible schools in foreign countries all over Europe now. An apostle's ministry seems to embrace all other ministry gifts. What does that mean? It means that somebody that is called to stand in that office seems to be able to function and flow in the other gifts also, in all the other gifts. Meaning they can get people saved, they can function as an evangelist. And then they can teach and train them and get them established in the Word. So then they can stand and function as a teacher. And then they can stand and function as a pastor to shepherd God's people. But that's usually for a time or for a season, and then they'll move to something else and they'll bring in or train up somebody that's called to be a pastor. Somebody that's gifted as an apostle is able to function and flow in all those gifts. So sometimes they may be doing one thing, sometimes they may be doing another thing. There's somebody else that I know that actually we've had come preach at this church. Anyway, I don't know that he'd say he functions like this, but it sure looks like it to me in things that I've watched him do. I don't think he'd even say this about himself, but we've watched him go start Bible schools and churches in foreign countries. And then right now he's in the United States pastoring a church here that he started. But we've watched him be able to just move and function and flow, and he can teach, and he's very dynamic and gets people saved, and then he can pastor and flow back and forth. And I know that when he was overseas at one point, somebody that I know was praying for him, and just in the spirit as she kept praying out, apostle pastor, apostle pastor, apostle pastor. Like just praying out an ability to flow from one into the other, from one into the other, getting things established in governments and then being able to shepherd God's people. What we can see is that one of the main distinguishing results of somebody that's called to this is an ability to establish churches, which I said before. Often we hear the word missionary, and everybody's real familiar with the word missionary, but the word missionary is actually not in the New Testament. So what do we mean when we say the word missionary? The reality is missionary is really probably an apostle. A missionary, if they truly are a missionary, is a sent one by God, and an apostle is a sent one by God. But missionary is not a New Testament word. It's not in the Bible. Apostle is. Turn to Acts chapter 13. And we're going to look at verses 2 and 4. And we're going to see what it looks like when somebody's sent by God. Acts chapter 13. Okay, we can see that there's a group gathered. And in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, which is a good thing. Do you know that when you minister to the Lord, he often will minister to you? It's a good thing to minister to the Lord. It's a good thing to wait on the Lord. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. Because often when we get into that flow, then he'll speak to us and he'll minister to us. So as they were ministering to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. So the Holy Ghost said. So they were separated by God into the work that they were called to do. They were sent ones. They were sent forth to minister. So we can see that there's a difference between somebody just going, well, I want to see what it's like to take a missionary trip. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're sent by God. Sent by God is somebody that is called and commissioned and separated and sent by God with a commission or an assignment to go do something. Something specific, a commission. They're sent with a purpose. They're sent ones. Now, let's look at the marks of an apostle today. What would we need to see to be able to just know that somebody stood in that office? Well, from the scriptures that we've looked at, we would need to be able to see outstanding spiritual gifts, signs and wonders following them. So some incredible things, signs and wonders. From Paul, as we just looked at the scripture, some deep personal experience. They were seeing Jesus. Paul was getting, Paul had visions of Jesus, and he was getting revelation from Jesus. He was taught the word direct. Power and ability to establish churches, and able to provide adequate spiritual leadership. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 4, 15. It's important to take notes. It's good that you're taking notes. It's also really good to turn to these places in the Bible, because you're not probably going to have your notes with you, but most likely you'll have your Bible with you. And if you can get real familiar with your Bible, that's one of the things we want you to be able to do in going through Bible school, is to get real comfortable and familiar with your Bible, get real comfortable flipping from scripture to scripture. So, you know, a service on Sunday mornings, usually pastors won't have you turn to very many scriptures. A lot of times there's a lot of new people there. They don't know the order of the books. They don't know where the scriptures are. Sometimes they get embarrassed trying to figure out where they're going and can't catch up. But for you guys, it's good for you to be flipping from place to place. Open these things up. Look at them. Underline them. Get to know them. Get familiar with this. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. This is an important scripture, and this is something else that you would see. This is something that I saw with John Wimber. I never knew him personally, but just from sitting in those conferences, such love, like a father. I mean, I just felt like he'd be a father to me. He didn't know me. I didn't know him personally, but just such love coming from him. Same with sitting under Brother Hagin, but it's different. You know, I don't think Brother Hagin would say that he stood in that office. But just an incredible love, functioning like a spiritual father. But let's look at this. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. In other words, there are a lot of teachers. There are a lot of people that can teach the Bible. A lot of people can teach. But there aren't many fathers. And we could kind of take that as being either a pastor, somebody that functions as an apostle, who would sometimes stand in the office of pastor also, but somebody that would exercise concern over you and have love for you, not just teaching the word and then going on their way. Okay, I'm even going to share this with you. I remember one time when we first started and we were still meeting in our home, we had somebody that came that was a traveling minister. And they came and they taught. And at the end of the teaching time, when they were about to leave, they said, you know, I really like being a teacher because I like being able to just teach and then leave. And you have to deal with everything when I go. You know, and there were some people that needed some healing. But sometimes, you know, you've got to balance things out with, you know, we're thankful for doctors. You know, there's medical wisdom. We want to glean from that. You know, yes, God is our ultimate source. So we've got somebody talking about healing and whatever. And their attitude was, I'm really glad I get to just leave. And I leave you with all this to clean up, basically. That's not really very good. We didn't really appreciate that very much. I really didn't appreciate that very much, you know, because then we're left with somebody to go pick up the pieces and talk to them about, hey, you need to go to the doctor. I did need to go to the doctor. Somebody that needed, yeah, we wanted them to use their faith, but they also needed to go to the doctor. See what I'm saying? Where somebody can come in and just teach and then leave, but that's not a pastor's heart. A pastor's heart wants the highest and best for the people. A pastor's heart wants to take care of people. Pastor's heart wants to make sure that people are okay, that people are edified, that people are built up, that people are safe. It's not just teaching the word and going on your merry way. Anybody can do that. You know, it's like, well, how are the people doing? Are the people able to receive and retain the word? Are the people processing the word? How are they doing processing the word? I just recently called somebody because I'd heard of a situation that happened, and I wanted to make sure they went to the doctor. Yes, we teach faith. Yes, I believe God heals, but doctors are good too, right? Are doctors good? Yeah, doctors want you healthy, right? And so all of this has got to be balanced out. And in teaching the word of God, it is so imperative that it's not just, it's got to be done with balance. And it's got to be done with love. And it's not just, well, there I'm done. Here, there I taught. Now I'm out of here. No. No. And really, even for teachers, it shouldn't be that way. And actually, for really good teachers that really are called to teach, it's not that way. It's not that way. And that's not the attitude. And that was the last time they ever ministered in our church. I mean, you know, I believe in grace, and, you know, maybe we'd work with them again and something, but we'd have to have some long talks first. it's not the attitude. What we see here is, I think about this. You have not many fathers. I saw this kind of a heart attitude in, it seemed like I could see this in John Wimber. It seemed like I could see this in Brother Hagin. It seemed like I could see this in Keith Moore. Now, granted, you know, at that time I was just at Bible school, and Keith Moore was functioning as a teacher there, genuinely cared about the students. Like, I know he was going home and he was praying over students. I know he was teaching healing school, and he was going home and he was praying over the people that he was teaching healing school. Cynthia and I went to pray. We were going to pray about the Bible school just a couple days ago. We spent 2 hours praying for one of you. I'm still not positive. I know all of what it was, but there was something. And just praying for you guys, because I love you, because we're committed to you, because I want you in God's highest and best, because God wants you in his highest and best. It's not just giving you the word. It's not just giving you the word. It's wanting you to be able to do what you need to do with the word so that you've got success. So that you're rightly dividing the word of God and you're rightly applying the word of God. You know why I'm telling you this? Because I want you to go do this. I'm telling you this because I want to sow it into you so that you'll sow it into others. You know what? People don't really care what you know until they know that you care, right? Have you ever tried witnessing to somebody? Now, sure, sometimes you can. But a lot of times, it's not until they know you care about them that they're even willing to listen to what you have to say. But when somebody knows that you care about them, then they're willing to listen. You'll take hold with them. You'll walk with them. You'll help them through some things. Well, you know what? That's love. When they know you love them, then they'll listen. But see, there's just a lot of people in the world that want to just tell you what they think. I mean, really, right? Just want to tell you what they think, but that's not necessarily love. So it's important for you, when you're ministering, to communicate first love. You love them. You care about them. You're willing to take time with them. When I was in Florida, some lady in Florida, and I'm at Ross, and I've got a time deadline. I've got a really tight time deadline. I just stood there and I thought, whatever. I know God. And I know that as I sow, he'll help me get the rest done. As I'm faithful to sow. And just the joy I had in ministering to that lady. But it took time. I was out there with her for at least an hour, maybe more than that, standing in the parking lot. And she just poured out. And I just stood there and listened. And then listen some more. But you know what? It wasn't like hard for me. It was a joy because in her I could hear this hunger for God. And I thought, praise God, I've been looking for people like this, you know, where I've gone all the way to Florida to find one, you know, somebody that's hungry for God. Well, you all are too, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, sometimes witnessing around here, So anyway, so just seeing the hunger in her, it was so precious. It was so precious. And then her not knowing she was saved. I'm like, I can tell you right now. By the time we're done here, you will know that you know that you know you're saved. Because I can tell you a scripture that will tell you for sure that you will be saved. Yeah. I mean, here she'd been just kind of, you know, wanting to be, reading the word. And she actually may have already been saved. She may have already been saved, but she didn't know it. Now she knew it. But it wouldn't have worked if I had just tried to just slap something on and go on my way. You see what I'm saying? See, sometimes we have to just take time, and sometimes it costs us our schedule. But God's good, and he made sure I got everything done that was essential. That was essential, you know. You know, he did. He's good. But when you minister to people, no matter what you're doing and where you are, they need to know that you care first. You don't want to just go slap on Jesus, just slap him up alongside the head with the name of Jesus. You know, you just need to believe in Jesus. You need to show them Jesus. And then they'll start coming to you. How come you can always just keep this even disposition no matter what's going on? How come you never get bugged about things? Well, praise the Lord. You can just process it, turn it all over to him, cast all your care on him, and stay in a place of peace. Be a light. Be a light so that they're drawn to you, so that you can minister the love of God, right? Okay, so anyway, we're back. We'll sum up. We're talking about apostles, so that you see outstanding spiritual gifts, deep personal experience, power and ability to establish churches. We saw that from Paul, right? Planting churches all over. Okay, ability to provide adequate spiritual leadership. You know, somebody that's like a father type figure, somebody that was ministering and loving and caring for the people. And an apostle is a foundation layer, and they lay the foundation themselves. It's not somebody that tries to go in and take over another ministry. And you also have to be a little careful, even though I know we're teaching on these, we're teaching on the ministry gifts, and it's important because I want you to be able to see things, because some of you are going to be, because the Holy Ghost, I believe, is going to be speaking to you even while I'm ministering, because he speaks to me while I'm studying. See, you're this. You know, so I've called you to that. He's going to be ministering to you. He's going to be speaking to you. So I want to be able to go over this so that you can really look at it very clearly and identify what you think you're called to. But we're not to get hung up on the titles, because we're not rewarded by title. We're not rewarded by having what we think is a higher position or a higher title. There's no greater reward for that. The reward is for faithfulness. So the key is being obedient to do what you're called to do, and be faithful to do what he's told you to do. Be faithful in that. And you know, those guys, Paul didn't start out as an apostle. He didn't start there. So even if God does quicken to you something, you most likely won't start there. So you need to start where you are, and you need to be faithful where you are, and sow and serve where you are. And when you're ready, God will move you into positions and places and offices. But sow where you are. Be faithful where you are. And let God just keep using you and using you where you are. Just faithfulness. Sow faithfulness. Keep sowing faithfulness. And God will bless you, and God will continue moving you into your perfect niche, whatever that is. He'll continue to clarify to you what that is and move you into that. So some of you may know I'm called to pastor. Some of you may know I'm called to be an apostle. Some of you may know I'm called into the helps ministry. Some of you may know you're called to be a teacher, you know. Whatever you're called to do, you just keep functioning where you are and pray and be led by him, be obedient, and let him keep using you. And he'll get you into the right fit. So that, and what's the purpose? Remember the purpose. The purpose for those ministry gifts, they're people, but they're gifts in people for the body. They're given to build up the saints for the work of service. So really it's laying down your life to serve the body so that the body can learn how to serve.
Yes.
So that the body can be fit together, knit together the way it's supposed to be, coming into the unity of the faith in love, growing up to all aspects, to be a mature body, mature individuals, mature body. So there's a purpose for it. And when we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing, then the body fits together and works together and functions really well. Amen.